Now, boys, our next guest was a tearaway fast bowler for Victoria and Australia who carried the name or the nickname Mad Dog before breaking all the fast bowler rules in retirement by turning to the dark side and looking after batsmen by making bats. Ian Callum. Callum, welcome to the locker room. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Brett. How are you?
Yes, good. Now, look, you've got to we've got to start by letting you tell us how you earned that nickname Mad Dog.
I don't know. I guess it's the way in which I attacked the batsman I was bowling in. Didn't give them much, and it was like a dog with a bone.
Played
with them a bit, tried to hurt them, and then get them out. So
fast bowlers are going to be a little bit mad, Greg.
I think they are. Yeah. I mean, when I say hurt them, I didn't mean. Give them a few bruises with the ball, not try and kill them. But
yeah.
And so, days with no helmet.
So that's right. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that we played cricket without helmets when you think of blokes like you trying to hurt batsmen. But listen, mate, how does a fast bowler known as Mad Dog end up making cricket bats so that batsmen can belt fellow fast bowlers out of the park?
I used to play. I play a season in Australia. I go overseas and play cricket. And I'd been having a lot of injuries, and I was looking for something to do after I retired from the game. And I'd had a sports store, and I was doing a lot of bat repairs for customers, and thought maybe making cricket bats was the way to go. So I began researching the industry here in Australia, and I realised that I'd have to rebuild it all, and I'd need some sort of income to develop that and pay for the expenses of it all. So I started learning how to make bats when I was playing cricket in the UK. Spent a bit of time with county bats in Huntingdon under a bloke called Chris Farron. And about 85, I think I was, I'd come back from, might be 86, came back from a season in South Africa, and it was getting a bit dangerous over there with what was going on. So I decided to stay in Australia, and I went back to England and did a bit more bat making, and then I started importing the timber from the UK. And as I was doing that, we started getting the bats in all the sports stores, and the trouble is that you'd make the bats over the winter and you get them in the sports stores, you wouldn't get paid till February, and but it was very difficult. So it became obvious then I had to grow my own timber, and we started growing. We found some rootstock originally sent out here by Archie McLaren, English Test captain, where Crockett had planted them, and he was asking farmers in the top of a prospectus to take on growing the trees on their properties. And we found a few of those locations. We were able to take some cuttings and propagate from those, and we did that on Phillip Island on a farm. And then we found land around the, we found some land at the Yarra Valley in Healesville. And we put the first plantations in. Since then, we've got quite a number of plantations growing around the state. Now it's 25 years later, and we have a product. We're producing raw materials, and we tested it out, and we thought we've got to establish a market for this, so we advertised on social media for interests in bat making courses. And we ran the courses over the last 2 years. We have about 40 bat makers all over the country, and they're now making bats in their local communities. You've got down your way, you've got Peter Buchanan, who runs PB Bats, and you've got Gunnamatta Bats in Rosebud. And all these guys have done the course and are making a good product.
Fantastic.
You know, knowing Buck as I do, he's certainly well into that, Ian. Just a quick one on your brief Australian career, but it's an Australian career nevertheless. One Test match, five One Days. What are your memories of playing for Australia back in the day?
Well, I was at a turbulent time. World Series cricket came into being, and we had 20 odd players left the Brisbane. Some of the good players stayed. It was it gave a lot of younger players an opportunity to gave them a chance, obviously. And I was lucky enough to get that chance in the fifth test in Adelaide. India had won the first, or Australia won the first two tests. India won the second two, so it was even going into the final test in Adelaide. Middle of February, very hot conditions, great crowds. It's a pretty good batting wicket, the Adelaide Oval, it was in those days. A lot of test centuries to score there. So it was always going to be a tough game. Tomo broke down after playing about two overs in the first innings of India's chance at the wicket. Australia made 500 and something. Yelp got 100. Simpson got 100. Australian selectors have chosen about five new players. It was Graham Wood, Rick Darling, Bruce Yardley, myself, and Yelop had come into the side. So we're pretty young, the experience, led by Bobby Simpson, who's probably one of the best all-round cricketers in Test cricket history. I think he's up there with the top 11 of all-time greats.
It's interesting.
Always in the game, whether it's in slips catching the ball or his leg spin or his batting.
It's interesting you mentioned Graham Yallop there coming in, because Graham Yallop the next year was Australian captain, and obviously there's reasons behind it. A lot of people had left, but there wasn't probably a lot of choice for that. But he became Australian captain only what a couple of a handful of tests into his career.
He played prior to that. Ian Chappell was captain. He played against the Knight of the West Indies and he was batting at three. He didn't do a bad job. I think he was averaging around about 40. Was dropped. They reckon he couldn't handle the pace of the West Indians. Fast bowling brigade was pretty good. Compared to the Indian attack, it was pretty good. They had a great bowling attack with Beatty and Prasanna, Chandrasekhar. Carson Jaffe was there quick, and I think Jimmy Armonath, medium pacer, opened bowling. So it was a little bit different in those days, but he was a fantastic batsman, and he's made a double century in Test cricket against Pakistan, the MCG, and made centuries overseas as well. Can't deny his ability.
Oh yeah,
Ian, we should say that you didn't do too much wrong in that one Test you played either, taking 2 3 wicket hauls, which included the wicket of the great Sachin Tendulkar. So you would have dined out on that a few times, wouldn't you?
Gavaskar Tendulkar was a little boy.
Oh, was it? Gavaskar? Oh, well, he was almost as good as Tendulkar.
He was nearly as good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Tried to hook me.
Well, that'll teach him.
That was, teach him. No, I had a good test match. Unfortunately, I was probably 22. It was really, really hot conditions. They'd given us about six injections into the left arm. They'd want to ruin my bowling arm, so I gave them these inoculations for West Indies tour. One of them was yellow fever, and by the time the fifth day came, the last day came, it was starting. Yellow fever was kicking in, and I had to bowl. I had to bowl 8 ball over spells. And I think I bowled about 70, equivalent of 75 overs in that test match, and ended up with a back fracture, which put me out of the game. Struggled through the West Indies tour. Couldn't get a wicket. I just couldn't put the effort into it. I was followed through with the delivery, and it took virtually 2 years to get back into playing cricket again. So, there's different reasons why I wasn't allowed to get selected to go to Pakistan, but then I got dysentery, unfortunately, over there. So I can't complain about my career. I loved every minute of playing the game. I had great enjoyment playing in the various leagues in England, and I was able to play as an overseas professional in South Africa, which was a great experience, and be involved in a winning first-class team over there and a winning club team. So,
Ian,
I can't complain about my career.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian, I've seen you make good comments about Richie Robinson. Apparently he made a lot of runs in games that you played against. Apart from him, who would be some of the other big names, or, you know, the ones that stand out to you as being quality cricketers from those days?
Julian Weiner was a terrific cricketer. Jeff Moss was, you know, I can't understand why he was given an opportunity so late. It's about 29 when he got a game for Victoria.
He was prolific, wasn't he? Prolific run scorer.
He was prolific run scorer, and a magnificent strike with a ball. I can remember a game up in Sydney Cricket Ground, and Lenny Pascoe was bouncing hell out of him and Scholes. In those days, Victoria team was so good. We used to be able to sit in the dressing room with our feet up and relax. They used to make good runs. And Mossy was out in the middle, and Scholes, you know, taking the deliveries on their chest, on their, all over their bodies, and he came in at tea, and he put the bat down on the afternoon tea table, and he said, I'm going to smash him after tea. And he went out and made 100 in a session. It was unbelievable. It was just the type of player he was.
Neil just touched on some of the players. What about some of the characters? Because obviously now it's a bit more straight laced. But obviously back then you would have played against some interesting characters as well around that time.
Oh, there was characters everywhere. I mean, you know, Geoff Thompson was a character, and you know, a frightening fast bowler, bowled over 100 miles an hour. And Dennis Lilly was another one. You know, and as you say, there was no helmet in those days, so. You know, there was a lot of brown stain in the pants when those blokes were bowling.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lenny Pascoe was another one who used to talk it up. He got fired up and aggressive. I think he was worse than me. It was Wayne Pryor. There was another real quick bowler. He bowled one of the quickest bowlers I've ever seen. Rodney Hogg was a real character of the game. He got fired up and let rip. So there's guys just about in every state that were able to give players a bit of chin music and sort them out. So it was a pleasure playing against them, and you know, the different blokes you meet on tours and things like that, different characters. Steve Rixon and Peter Toohey used to room together. They were characters. Used to come in after our training sessions, turn the bath on, fall asleep in the dressing room, and he'd come out. The water was flowing over the balcony. You know, they not only once, they do it two or three times.
That was in the days when water was cheaper than it is today, obviously. And Ian, as a bat maker, but also as a former fast bowler, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on discussions taking place about limiting bat sizes.
I guess it's something that's got to be done. I think it's the density in the timber that gives them the rebound. I think obviously the more timber in the bat, which, you know, the timber that's coming out of the UK is so it just doesn't have the density that it used to have. They dry it out to 8% moisture level, which is the current, you know, the normal level would be about 12-14%. So they dry it out in kilns, reduce the amount of moisture in the bat, and as soon as it comes out of the kiln, it gains that moisture again. And so they get little microscopic bubbles or fractures in the timber, so they just fall apart. So they've got to have all this timber in there to make the bat last. And everyone wants to hit the ball as well as Chris Gayle does, so the little blokes are asking for these big bats. Smacking around the park, you've got to remember the wickets. You know, the grounds aren't as big as they used to be. You've got the boundaries are cut off.
That's true.
You know, and the bowlers can't, you know, there's no width. They can't bowl width. They've got to bowl a certain line. They can't bowl bounces. They can't do this. They can't do that. You might as well put the damn ball on a tee and let them tee off. I mean, you know, of course they're going to hit the ball over the top of the fence. You know, there's no room for errors. Days that we play the boundary fence with the boundary fence, and you can lean against the fence and catch someone out. So these days, and really when you think about how far they've hit the ball, still got to be in the middle, and you know, blokes like Simon O'Donnell, who used a standard size bat, and he went into the second story of the southern deck of the MCG. Blokes like George Bonner back in 1870 or 1880 hit one that high, ran three before he was caught. You know. So the blokes been hitting long balls. Somebody went into the out of the oval into a block of flats, third story block of flats across the road. So, you know, it's just a matter of hitting the ball in the middle, really. And you look at Vivek Kohli, then, you know, the photo of him in the paper the other day with his cricket bat, and there's all these red marks right in the middle. Right in the middle of the bat. He doesn't miss too many. So it wouldn't matter what type of bat he used. You'd use a paling fence and still make runs.
Ian, obviously back in the 70s, 80s, things were a bit different. Obviously, technology a bit different and all that. But were you ever tested for speed of how much you bowled, like how quick you bowled, or if not, sort of how quick would you have been back then?
Yeah, well, I wasn't as quick as Thompson or. Thompson, that's for sure, is miles quicker than me. I wasn't really tested for pace, but you know, you get a fair idea by the way the ball carries through the keeper.
How deep the bruising is, the batsman.
I mean, I could probably hold my own. You know, I reckon the fastest I could bowl would be about 145. But I never used to bowl that. I couldn't sustain that. I would, and I look at bowlers today, and especially Patterson. And think, why doesn't he just hold up his fastball and just, you know, reduce, doesn't have to bowl at every ball. And he might be able to save his body a bit. You can't go out and blast people out of the ground every ball. You need to be able to hold them back, get them playing in a, get them coming forward to you, then give them, let one rip, but 2 yards faster and get them by surprise. And, you know, you're surprised how many wickets you can get from just doing that simple thing.
What a, just quickly, what about the bowlers getting rested nowadays? What are your thoughts on? Do you think the bowlers should be kept going? Do you think they're playing too much cricket? What are your thoughts on that in regards to bowlers and injuries and form? And
well, I'll give you an example of myself, having suffered from the injury. You know, your body has to get used to the workload. It's same as a marathon runner. You can't just run out and run a marathon, you've got to train for it. And that means testing your body, putting it through all sorts of physical activity. The fast bowler should be out running long distances. He doesn't have to run a marathon, but he should be able to run, you know, five miles or something like that at a good pace. He's got to be able to, in lots of sprint work, he's got to be able to recover quickly. You've got to be strong, and you've got to bowl and bowl and bowl in the nets. And you've got to, you know, I used to bowl twice during the week, on a Tuesday and a Thursday, for an hour and a half, and a state practice. And you prepare yourself for the long, hot days of being out in the field where you've got to fight for every wicket and save every run and bowl those long spells. Otherwise, if you haven't got the ball in your hand, you can't get wickets. And by just bowling every now and again, you can't get you can't sustain the amount of bowling you need to play at that level of cricket.
I reckon you're making some really, really good points there. We're going to need to continue on, but it's been absolutely fantastic chatting with you today, and no doubt there'll be a lot of our listeners out there who'd have eyed off one of those Callan bats, and they'll go and go and have a chat to Pete Buchanan about that locally. So,
certainly Peter's bats or Gunnamatta bats.
Yep, Gunnamatta bats, another one to relate. Yep. Good.
Yeah, well, it runs locally down there, so I make a good cricket bat.
Fantastic. Ian, it's been great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us on The Locker Room today.
Thanks, Tim.